You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. Let me start off by saying, welcome. If it's your first time joining Black on Black Crime, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Now, on this program, Erica Alexander is making moves to change television. We'll talk about it's kind of a discussion. It's not really a black on black crime situation, but she did something affirming black folks on TV. So I wanted to talk about that. We have former NBA player Dennis Rodman versus NBA MVP LeBron James. If you haven't heard this story, it is Dennis talking about something he probably had no business. And we have a special commentary, Raw from the Jaw with Daniel Woodson, partner in crime. We have Daniel on. We have entertainment updates and more. So just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. And if you missed last week's show, you can check it out in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. That's Black on Black Crime. Now, last week's show, author Alice Walker versus Alicia Keys, and R&B singer Miguel had his little issue with black folks in judgment. We have that and ballerina Misty Copeland. Okay, I'm not going to say anything about Misty because that's my girl. So anyway, La Cossière, which is at the Met, the Metropolitan Opera House, if you're in New York City, go check that out. So we did a story about that, Misty Copeland. Now, you can check this out, again, in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. All right, we normally start the show off with some news and information, but before I do that, we're going to bring in partner in crime, Daniel Woodson. What's going on, brother Daniel?
Not much. It's just this Texas heat, both nearing 100 degrees. So brother got to be inside and keep hydrated. Well, my car says 91 degrees, but my body says 101.
And this is not even the hot season for Texas, is it?
Not yet.
You're about, like July-ish, right?
It gets worse. July, August, it gets worse. So,
yeah.
Be mindful. So keep your head covered, keep hydrated.
And you don't want to be there with any kind of asthma. Like, if you keep having breathing issues, the air is kind of rough.
It's tough, man, because it's like breathing water, pretty much like what it feels like. Or breathing steam, something like that.
I've been there, and it has been really difficult, so I can attest to that.
You've been in a sauna, sauna or steam room, you know what we're talking about. That's what it feels like.
Sauna.
All year round.
Man. Okay. See, that's my winter vacation spot, not necessarily the summer destination. But.
And you don't want to roll up in Texas talking about I'm going to move to Texas in June or July. You'll regret it.
Oh, yeah. Before we get started on the show, you know, we'd like to do a little news up front. So, Daniel, you can comment on the news stories because I just want to keep the people up to date and informed before we go into black-on-black crime. So,
all right.
This week, President Obama unveiled a bold new initiative called Connected, Connect-ED, to connect 99% of America's students to the Internet through high-speed broadband and high-speed wireless within 5 years. He called on the FCC to modernize and leverage its existing E-rate program to meet the goal. The president also directed the federal government to make better use of existing funds to get Internet connectivity and educational technology into classrooms and to get teachers trained on its advantages. And he also called on businesses, states, school districts, schools, and communities to support this vision. Now, this ambitious initiative, what he said, does not require congressional action. So it might be something that we can actually do. It's like a good news, a good plan to me. Now, for those people who don't know, in 2009, I think it went into effect in 2010, do you know if you live in a poor community, get free lunch at your school, you can call your cable provider and get $9.99 DSL internet rates from your cable anywhere in the country. That is law. Nobody really knows that, but if you get free lunch, if your child gets free lunch in school, you qualify to get low internet access rates in your home already. The president did
that.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I did the news.
It should be one of those things they include in the packet when they send home with the free lunch. By the way, you can get $9.99 on the internet access. You got to let the people know.
I did that story a couple of years ago, and every now and then when people say, what did the president do to help struggling people and poor people and all that, there's a lot of things that he put in place, but believe me, your cable company will not call you to give you a lower reduced rate. They're not going to call you and tell you you can get it. But if you call them, they have to give it to you.
Mm.
So I'll look at the law. If anybody calls in and really needs to hear it, if you put it in chat or email us at bobc@solarsyracuse.com, I can give you some information on what to tell them. But, yeah, it was an executive order. So for those people who didn't know. I do have a question, Daniel. Now, I don't know how I feel about this, but this story that WNBA player Brittany Griner has signed with Nike, but she's going to be wearing men's clothes, and since Brittany's preference in wardrobe is masculine, she'll be starring in Nike ads dressed in gear that she likes, which is considered men's clothes. I saw the story. There's no black-on-black crime there, but I just thought it was interesting for a discussion that Nike had to announce that.
Well, from my vantage point, I'm trying to comment on this without offending anyone. If you notice with same-sex couples, especially women or lesbians, there tends to be one of the pair that dresses more masculine than the other. And if that's their target market, then there's a market out there to be had. So it's one of those things, if they visualize a pocket or a segment of the market where they can say that these clothes are for women who like to dress more masculine, then that leads the consumer to say, hey, here's something that I can wear that someone like me or someone that has the preferences like me wants to wear, so I'll start wearing that. So, I mean, it's definitely a niche market, but it's a market that's out there and it's in a market to be had.
I really don't even know what to say about it. But I think I'm not committing a black-on-black crime. I would say this to anybody who says you're going to market men's clothes to women and that's a market and you have to do a press release. I'm going to have to chalk this up to the same way the NBA has marketed the guy who came out of the closet. That's what they do. Those guys will exploit anybody. So I think they're exploiting that. If you're going to wear men's clothes, wear them, whatever, to that. But if you are marketing men's clothes to women, I don't know. I mean,
but that's exactly the point.
Men,
if you,
who cares?
But that's exactly the point. If you want people to wear men's clothes, or if you know that some women are wearing men's clothes, why not wear ours? So,
well,
I mean, it's happening already. It's happening already.
Yeah, you and Kai are really nice about this stuff, where I'm not. But here's a trick to life. You guys are really nice. I guess it's my need to not be politically correct at any particular given time. But here's the thing. If you're going to wear them, wear them. She's wearing them anyway. Who cares? So what does that mean?
But
you're not going to have, like,
is she wearing ours? And if she's a very visible athlete,
women,
let's use her to wear our
clothes. Women have been wearing men's watches for who knows how long. I don't think we actually had a marketing program with Rolex saying, women, you can wear the big face watch. I don't think nobody does that. It goes way back to the fact that the marketing for a certain group of folks is kind of in style. I think that's what it is.
Well, the conversation every other day is something, you know, LGBT.
Something in that, yeah, that's true.
In that realm. So if it's a hot topic, it gets airtime, it gets attention, that's ratings for some people. For other people, it's sales of men's clothes to women.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, we have Lavinia in the chat room is saying, Why is a sister being used to be the first to do this? There have been plenty of white female athletes. They could have capitalized on a few during the Olympics, I'm sure, is what she said. But you're right about that. There's a lot of people that you can use, so I would have to question it, but I guess it's just because she recently did it. So the WNBA is going to do their marketing.
Well, put it like this. This whole topic, conversation, I mean, political things, things that have been done by President Obama, all that stuff wasn't something that was talked about before the last WNBA season. Now this is something that's being talked about. Here is a star athlete that's coming out and entering the WNBA. She's very marketable. You know, why not it be a sister to get some pocket line as the spokesperson or whatnot for Nike men's gear that may be targeted towards women?
Well,
if you remember, Billie Jean King, Martina Navratilova, all the negative press and the really political attacks or personal attacks that were made against them wouldn't fly nowadays.
Right.
So it would have been a negative for, say, a Nike or someone to approach Martina Navratilova in the mid to late 80s as opposed to a Brittany Griner in 2013. People are more accepting.
I'm not sure about that. I figured that there's a test case out there someplace. And so she's the first litmus test to the test case, just like the guy from in NBA basketball. Now, he's not a star athlete, so we don't even know if he's going to make the NBA next year. But I'm sure they'll probably blame it on that to say that he didn't make it. But whatever to all of that. I guess I could add.
Depends on what team he goes to. I mean, say, for instance, if he wanted to play for the Lakers and Kobe has already stood out and spoken on his behalf and supports him, if he wanted to come to Los Angeles, then Los Angeles, well, L.A. period, is far more open to that kind of thing. I think that he can make the Lakers team. Sure, you have some people that would speak against that, but a market like L.A. and a person like Kobe endorsing him, I don't see why that wouldn't happen in L.A.
I think you're missing the big point here, though, is that when you're a star athlete, you can't. I wouldn't use Kobe as no litmus test for Jack. Kobe has flip-flopped on a lot of things, so he needs to say what he needs to say to keep his legacy going. Kobe has been a little hot water for things that he said, so he needs to be accepting. But I don't think people follow Kobe. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that he will ease the way for anything in particular. So I'm just saying in the big picture,
for LA, for the Lakers, I think he has a lot to say. So
I would say – I don't mean for this to be a black-on-black crime, but I just want to say if he played at some place like Golden State or someplace, a little farther. Where is Golden? No, Golden State is a little.
Well, Golden State is near San Francisco, man. So, hey, Golden
that's
State
what
is near
San Francisco. That's what I was trying to get San Francisco.
He would get just as much support.
No, he'll get more support. I was thinking, but they don't have a San Francisco team, a pro basketball, but the closest one is Golden State. So I would think that may have a bigger impact than L.A. That's just my opinion.
Small market teams, it's hard to say, man, but we could argue that point until the cows come home.
Yep, and we're not arguing that.
I take the reference.
to the cows come home. Dallas police this week fired a 911 operator for violating their social media policy, which prohibits employees from posting items or information that will adversely affect the morale, confidence, and public respect of the department. Now, April Sims, and I had to call her name out, right? I normally don't say people's name on the show, but April Sims, because this is a news story, took it to her Facebook page to post a bigoted, stereotypical insult about black people, particularly those who call 911 through her page, which is private. But check this out. Her friends sent screen captions to the local news. That is your friends for you. One of the screen captions said that black people are outrageous. They're more like animals. They never know how to act, just loud, explicitive, and always causing problems. Now, she was just hired in December, and she got fired, which she should have. That's all. That's all I got for her story.
Well, I mean, you know, that's cut and dry. I mean, you say some things like that, then most likely people aren't going to want to hire you, especially in a 911 situation, emergency, if she hears as a black person, she may not take it as seriously, and it could be a life and death situation. So if she feels that way, right, then let her go do something else.
Right, but okay, I just want to say this, since it was Texas, it was Dallas. Maybe she thought she'd get away with that. No, I'm just saying.
Nah,
maybe she thought she'd get away with it. Maybe she thought, I don't have to be
anyway.
Politically. Yeah, but you know how people think they
think,
don't have to be politically.
Nah, man.
I'm not blaming Texas.
Down here. I mean, you know, we are red state, but we still have some political correctness down here.
Well, okay, sorry.
Down
you're more
yonder.
Like a purple. You're more like a purple state.
A purple
you know, you have
state.
A little bit more. Well, no, it's not as red as it was before. So in the last election, yeah, the last election was actually pretty close for Texas. Texas is not a solid red state no more. So
you can speak to that more than I can.
Yeah, and that's why I said that. I didn't mean it in a violent kind of way. I just meant, what did Hibbert get fined for? No homo. But they're a violent state.
No homo.
That's what he got. Yeah, that's what he got fined for.
Who said that it's a violent state?
No,
Indiana is a violent state?
Who would use that?
Yeah,
but anyway,
please.
All right.
Don't let that fool you.
I just want to remind you, listen to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. We haven't even gotten into the show yet. We have on this show, actress Erica Alexander makes a move to change television. You know, she wrote a script for a show. She said there's no black people on here, so she made it happen. So I want to read her reason for doing that. Also, we have former NBA player Dennis Rodman. You know, we're going to have to laugh at this one. Versus NBA MVP LeBron James. He has some smart stuff to say. And Daniel is coming with our special commentary, Raw from the Jaw.
Raw from the Jaw.
And there you go. And I don't know if it's going to be a black-on-black crime committed on Daniel today, but this may be justified. So we'll have to take our time with Raw from the Jaw today. You're going to plead the fifth? Until we go to the tape, just plead the fifth. It ain't working.
I don't know nothing about nothing. I wouldn't even look there.
Well, we definitely going to have to kind of ease into that one. And, you know, I forgot to say, Erica Alexander's statement is kind of an open letter. So I know Finesse don't like open letters, but forget Finesse. When he come in here, we'll just tell him he don't run things. So we're going to talk about Erica Alexander a little bit later. And Ross.
What was the name of her character? What was the name of her character on Living Single?
Living Single? It was Max. Yep.
Max.
It was
Max. Right. Max. Okay.
Okay, well, just have to make sure we get that straight.
Right.
Max on Living Single. All right, so we'll be back. We're going to take a break, give you some more news, and we'll come back with more Black on Black Crime. See you in a few.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. U.S. employers added 175,000 jobs in May, steady hiring, but below previous months. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate rose to 7.6% from 7.5% in April. The increase occurred because more people began looking for work, which is a good sign. The Supreme Court has ruled that police can collect DNA from anyone they arrest, equaling a DNA cheek swab to common procedures like taking fingerprints or mugshot. Conservative Judge Anton Scalia said, in a sharp dissent, this will solve some extra crimes to be sure, but so would taking your DNA when you fly an airplane. First, there was online dating to set up marriage. Now there's online divorcing to end a marriage. A new software program that promises to make separation as simple as possible uses a six-step process to create a divorce contract without the need for two attorneys. Web divorce services are also available for couples who are not married but will need help dividing their assets or arranging custody. Amazon is planning a major rollout of online grocery business that it has been quietly developing for years. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News on ACN.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
If you don't mind, would you pull that bass up a little bit, my mom? And pull up them drums, Lord. I want to hear them drums kicking so hard, it kicked it way back in Mississippi.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You know, I'm actually listening to the song. I think I probably should be talking, and I'm listening to the song. All right. Remember, you can join in 909-265-9189 to join into the program. On this show, we're talking about Erica Alexander and her comments about, you know, what TV is missing and her move to change TV. And also, former NBA player Dennis Rodman versus MVP LeBron James. We're going to go to that, but before we go to that comment first, we're going to bring in my girl, Kai. What's going on, Kai?
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm a little delirious. It's a rainy Monday in Georgia, as usual, and I was calling in trying to figure out, why can't I get in? I was calling your station.
Uh-huh. Look at
okay,
you.
Okay, wrong number.
See,
but I got it together.
And the number you agreed to, no longer in
there. See, and Daniel, you know what happens is she corrected me when I gave the wrong number out.
I know, isn't that bad? Oh, God. I'm delirious.
Okay, that's all right. You're fine. I guess we should let everybody know where we are. Black on Black Crime, Esprit Radio, 909-265-91. What's the rest, Kai?
Thank you.
She had to look at her phone. I was trying to help her. There was a go. All right.
It's been a long day,
be a
I
moment.
Tell you.
And it's raining there, and Daniel said this is like 100, so. I guess
it's about 80-ish here and very muggy.
My skin is melting off.
Oh.
Okay. On this program, Daniel's doing Raw from the Joss. Kai, we're going to see if Daniel's going to commit a black-on-black crime. I just want to tell you, it's possible. So,
Nah,
he's not even worried about it.
I follow the rules of the road at all times.
Hey, okay, so the deal that Finesse wanted to make was he gets to do a segment, but he gets to have a disclaimer so that he doesn't get a black-on-black crime when he has his screaming session. So,
oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't give him that. I just said he asked for it. That was just a request.
I'm about to commit a crime, so officer, don't arrest me.
Okay. See, does that count, Kai, when you tell him up front that you can commit a crime?
Well, it does prepare the person, but I don't know. Does that make it right? I don't know. How does that work?
If it's wrong, say the rest.
It's wrong.
Don't want to be right. Well, okay. Now, okay, so before we go to that, first, let's go to former NBA player Dennis Rodman. See, I'm being nice even with the introduction. Versus LeBron James. Now, Dennis Rodman is what seems to be slightly a little jealous of LeBron's success, which includes, like, scoring the most points in a single game and earning three MVP titles kind of thing. Like, it appears as if James' success is getting under his skin. Like, it appears that way for Rodman. He said, it's really not a comparison if LeBron was playing in the late 80s and early 90s. He would just be an average player. Now, to do what Michael has done, meaning Michael Jordan, what he did was more charisma. I think he meant charismatic, but I'm going to say what he said. Was more charisma. There was more articulating, and that's what he said. There were more articulating and stuff like that. LeBron is more like there's no flash to his game. Don't get me wrong, he's a hell of a player. This is his quote, so this is why I'm stuttering. It's not flowing well. He said, I'll give that to him. He's a hell of a player. But me and Scotty, meaning Scotty Pippen and Michael, are probably the best 1-2 punch I've ever seen. I don't know why he put himself in there. But
1-2
okay, anyway. Yeah, 1-2 punch with him, Michael, and Scotty. All right. So Rodman, who won 3 NBA titles with Jordan and the Bulls from 1996 to 98, claimed that the 28-year-old Michael Jordan would average at least 40 points per game in today's NBA. So Rodman continued to say LeBron came into the age of the game at a perfect time. Michael came into the game back when you could hit people, knock them down, shoot a free throw, get back up. He said, I'm just sick and tired of people comparing James to Michael Jordan. It's a whole different era, is what he said. Now, I don't know where to go with that rant. So, Kai, you can go with this because you can go first on this.
When you mentioned Dennis Rodman, I already knew there was no place to go.
Yeah, lucky he didn't throw.
I think I'm trying to understand what he's saying. I think the only part that I caught that he might be right on is not fair. It's not fair to compare them because, one, they're two different people. But after that, Dennis, as usual, loses me with everything that comes out of his mouth. But,
yeah, hell yeah, he actually lost me.
Yeah, he needs a little therapy. But it sounds like a little bit of hateration is going on. Give the man credit. He doesn't play like Michael Jordan because he's not Michael Jordan. But he plays like LeBron James, so let him be LeBron James. You know, he sounds like a old player sitting on the sideline hating and reminiscing about what he used to do.
We
used to
call
him
an old player
hater. We used to.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
Back in my day, we used to shoot free throws from half court.
The court was 2 feet longer.
Yeah.
He had the rim.
And the ball was bigger and the rim was smaller.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like
he sounds a little bitter.
Okay,
well, it's
ahead,
one
yeah,
of those things.
Yeah.
It's another one of those deals of jealousy. You can call it hateration. Every generation of players, you have that. Someone comparing someone to whoever. I'm sure guys were compared to Bob Cousy in the 60s and 70s. You know, the free shot clock era. So it's just one of those things that they are two different types of players. Jordan had to be more finesse. He's only 6'6", and he had a smaller frame. And you got LeBron about 6'8", 6'9", several pounds heavier. He has more of a power game. You know,
right.
So, I mean, they both are good, are fairly decent. Well, I think Jordan was probably a little better defensive player, but judging by what we saw last night, LeBron can step up his defensive game when need be as well.
Now, I have to say, I was more of a Michael fan than I was LeBron. I actually like Michael Jordan, so I like watching his games, like watching towards the end of the games that he get the ball and all of that. But I have to tell you, LeBron grew on me, and I think I only started watching him his last 2 years at Cleveland. And I am telling you, 27-game winning streak, the stats that they throw up on LeBron just in this season, they're breaking records all over the place. And people still hate that kid for some they find anything to not like him for, and then they bring that up, right? He doesn't have five rings. Well, he wasn't in the league as long as Mike. But he won his first one a year younger than when Michael won his. Give him some credit to grow up. So,
and I guess I might be one of the few people who I like Michael Jordan as a player, but I'm a LeBron fan. The first time I'm up in the airport, I would ask for LeBron's autograph before Michael.
And Michael's shot. And now I would, too. Like, I would gravitate more towards LeBron because LeBron's more efficient. than Michael ever been.
Efficient and humble, and Michael just seems very arrogant to me.
LeBron doesn't shoot as much. Michael was mean. He was pretty mean. Although I've known people who went up to Michael. Michael was nice to them, but Michael has been known to be really kind of standoffish. But especially on the court, he was a mean kid to play with, you know, on the court. So everybody gives him credit for being that angry on the court, but they criticize LeBron for not being as forceful as Mike, because Mike would shoot a lot. Like, that's not LeBron's game. So he doesn't take as many shots as he's more like Magic, and Magic says that. Like,
LeBron got a triple-double the other night.
Right. So in the NBA playoffs, Michael had, through his career, something like he led his team in points, rebounding, and assists 23 times. Do you know LeBron has led his team 94 times? And that was over Michael's career. So if you compare like where Michael's or where LeBron's strong suit is, Michael doesn't really touch LeBron either. It just kind of depends on where your focus is on the game. But to be at this point and say 93 times you have led your team in rebounds and assists and scoring in the same game 93 times, that is a remarkable stat. Or 94 times is what he did. Now, LeBron has also been named yesterday, or I think it was yesterday. He'll be the NBA 2K14, I guess he's on that video game. So this is the first time he's on a cover. It'll be released in October, on October 1st, once NBA season resumes playing for next season. He's coming off his fourth MVP in 5 years, and he's just been selected to sit on the cover of something that he's never been on before. I don't know what you have to do to get respect these days, but if you got to get four MVPs in 5 years for people to say that you're good, they're like, well, he's not great. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
So anyway.
He's not great, and he's not Michael Jordan. I mean, come on. Let him
Michael
be LeBron.
Is not Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah. He's not Wilt Chamberlain either. Nobody has gotten 100 points, so I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, come on. Jeez.
So that's kind of my slight little pet peeve in the whole conversation, but I guess I can go down the line. Kai, Black on Black Crime, Dennis Rodman, LeBron James. What would you say about that? Is he picking on him because he's loyal to Michael or because he's overtly focusing on LeBron?
Because
Or nobody's listening to him.
Nobody's listening to him. Straight up blacker than the blackest black on black crime.
yeah, we need another category because he's I think it's because nobody's listening to him. Daniel, what do you think?
Yeah.
Calling all cars. We got a BOBC. Dennis Rodman. LeBron James.
Hey, well, I guess we'll go for that and just say that is kind of a crime for him to do that. With that being cleared up, I guess we'll take a break before we go into our main story. And you see what I'm about to play. Can you guys hear this? This is the Dennis Rodman.
Oh.
I'm crazy. Yeah. All right. There you go.
You.
What's the bump music kicks in? You can call him Rodman.
Really, that's all you have to call him. The rest is implied.
Exactly. So I just want to remind everyone, you can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. To join in on the conversation. Our next topic right after the break is going to be our main topic. We're just talking about Max from Living Single. I just had to do that for Daniel's sake. Erica Alexander, and you know, she wrote a script because she said there was no black characters on the show. So I just want to discuss that with you guys after this break. Alright. So in honor of Dennis Rodman, I'll play a PSA from LeBron James as well. We'll be back after this.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had? So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes? Should I just sell shoes? Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you, I am not a role model. Hi, Chuck.
Seriously, what should I do?
Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser?
Did it for the money?
Ring?
Should I be who you want me to be?
Should I accept my role as a villain?
Maybe I should just disappear.
Should I stop listening to my friends?
They're my friends.
Should I try acting?
He's got to deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down?
Uh-huh.
Should I make you laugh?
Should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Or should we just clear the deck and start over?
Coming through here!
What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?
If you would like 2-carat diamonds for only $49, then come to Tom Tuckman's Diamond Mine. If you would like personal service, then do not come to Tom Tuckman's Diamond Mine, because he passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Tom didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dickie Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which classes he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tutti's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My Sparkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a Snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, hanging out with Daniel and my girl, Kai. What's up, people?
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, that's that. I thought that was fitting to put LeBron in there saying, what do you want me to be? Like, he made that 2 years ago, and they still telling LeBron what to do. So I thought it was kind of fitting. Do you want me to ignore my friends? They my friends. I'm just joking. I like that. All right. Now, on this segment, our main topic, Erica Alexander penned a script for a couple of episodes of that movie channel, AMC's hit series, Mad Men. It was pretty much an open letter to the series. If you don't know, she's best known for her roles as Pam Tucker. I didn't know that was her last name. On The Cosby Show. Did you know that was her name? On The Cosby Show?
No.
I didn't.
No.
I sure didn't.
Well, I guess she's not known for her name on The Cosby Show, but I remember she was on there. And she was also Maxine Shaw on Living
Single.
There you go. So you remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
She's won numerous awards for Living Single, by the way. So she did a great job there. Now, Erica shared on her blog, it was titled, Why I Wrote a Mad Men Episode with Negroes, is what she wrote. She says, though I work as an actress and have pitched and sold a series or two in my time in Hollywood, I'm not a writer on Mad Men, so this episode won't appear anywhere but here. She said, why then? Why Negroes? Aren't we finished with all that, is what she's asking. She said, in honor of their season premiere, she wanted to say that she liked Mad Men a lot. And she said, I like the subject matter, advertising, I like the cast, and she likes writing, by the way. Now, she said, Matthew Weiner, or whatever his name is a storytelling beast, and I love the writing. She said, I only have one issue with Mad Men, okay, with a bunch of shows, but let's stick to this one. She said, I love to see more diversity. I'm a black actress, so diversity is an issue that comes up for me a lot. Mad Men, Game of Thrones, Girls, Veep, are all cool shows, except for the fact that they would really rock with more people of color. The series regulars or otherwise, I complain WTF and bemoan WTF. But alas, for all of my years in TV, I'm not able to make a difference in my own, or am I? She said, I need to find a different way to contribute to the conversation, to the answer that consists, like refraining from shows in their creators, that they don't want to just shoehorn black characters in their shows. So Leah Dunham, who wrote the show Girls, it's her show, she said, something I wanted to avoid is tokenism in my casting. So Erica Alexander wrote, okay, don't write a token black character. Write 5 or 10 great characters of color. She said, I get it. Race is complicated. So I decided to apply my creative powers to writing an episode of Mad Men. I tried to incorporate the difficult other organically into the storyline. She said, for me, it was easy. Mad Men is set in New York City in the 60s. Those times were all about race, and it was the defining issue of the 20th century. She said, she was born in the mountains of Arizona, but as a writer, I don't have a hard time imagining blacks and whites on Madison Avenue. My husband worked as a black art director in an advertising agency, both mainstream and black-oriented, and my father-in-law was a pioneer black executive in the 60s. I merged the two and brought the mountain to Mohammed. She said her Don J. Draper character goes uptown and meets his match. So the show already had good bones, so I just put some dark meat on him, is what she called. So she said, here it is. It's called Mad Men Uptown Saturday Night. She said, it's a shout out to pretty much Uptown Saturday Night. She said, the script won't be made, but she hoped to demonstrate that it can be done and the iconic TV characters can play well with others. Enjoy, keep the conversation going, and let me hear your thoughts. So here we go. So I want to read that because I thought it was a great conversation. What she did is she didn't just complain to a show that she likes. She wrote a whole script for him, sent it in, and said, do what you will, but I'm not just going to complain about not seeing black folks. She actually created black folks for them.
And made their job
to
easier.
To the show.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was a great idea.
Too.
What do you guys think?
I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
And I like the way... I'm sorry, Daniel.
No, you're good. That was me.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I like the way she worded it. She kept an open mind with it. She was open to... You know, the way she worded it sounds like she's open to suggestions. You know, kind of an open letter, but a let's talk about it open letter, not a chastising open letter. But, you know, for her to open up and say, I'm not a writer, these are some thoughts and suggestions, so forth. And honestly, I think she's going to have people talking about it, and before we know it, there's probably going to be some of those characters sprinkled into Mad Men. But she's right, I watch Mad Men not as much as I'd like to, and they do need some characters. People
of color. But she says she's not a writer on the show. She is a writer. She had a comic book series come out. She's actually written some episodes for different shows.
Mm-hmm.
So and her husband is actually a writer.
Right.
Like he's actually, you know, they produce some shows,
yeah,
and she was in some other programs.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually is a writer. She just said she wasn't a writer on that program.
From
but
that
she
show.
Actually wrote them.
Right.
Yeah, she actually wrote them.
So I love the way she did that, though. I like the way she kind of eased it in. Here's some suggestions. Let me know what you think, you know. And I honestly think it's probably going to be a character around what she writes.
Or a brand new show.
Right.
I mean, just the way she said it, she said just, What is my power in this situation? Can I make a difference from my living room, or am I powerless? And so she said, here, I'm writing it. So she may have written a whole new, you know, and the irony of this is, you know, Friends was created from a couple of scripts from Living Single.
Really?
Did you know that?
Yes. I did know
Living
that.
Single.
Here's what's so bizarre. As she's talking about writing that script, I kid you not, honest to God, for some reason, Keenan Wayans came to my mind just now. like to do a remake of Mad Men. I was thinking of it in more of a comical term, you know, like they do movies, like they do their movies. But he's the first person who came to my mind for some reason.
Just to make fun of it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why that's weird. And then you said that's really weird.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. The first couple of scripts were direct Living Single scripts when they created Friends. Some of the producers came off of Living Single, and the production company who owned Living Single actually created Friends. And then they put them up against each other. They created a white version of Living Single because Living Single was doing so good in the ratings that they created a white version for it, and then they canceled Living Single. Really interesting. Daniel, you're up. My bad. Didn't mean to leave you out, bro.
No problem. Wait my turn. Originally, I was going to argue for the producers, creators, writers of Mad Men because I looked at the 60s as a time when you didn't see African-Americans in such positions. But now she's telling from her personal experience that her father or relative or whatnot has written on Madison Avenue, so you did have African-Americans doing that job at that time. And then she didn't leave room for an excuse, but she wrote a how-to on how you can incorporate these people into a script. So there's no excuse now for them not to be able to do it because you've shown them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's something, like you said, that could, if not spin off into its own show, be incorporated into that because it would give them something else to talk about instead of discriminating against women and women making headway into the advertising genre at that time.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Rome, you were saying Living Single. I was thinking of In Living Color. That's what I'm thinking of, Keenan Wayne. See, it's Monday and it's raining. I'm delirious.
That's how Georgia is.
It is. It makes you lightheaded. My sinuses are acting up. But you know what? I wonder, too, if she might have just opened up an opportunity for her to do her own show.
Well, but
she's got the talent.
She is producing. But she's producing stuff, and she is writing.
Yeah.
And so I always see a lot of independent stuff coming across the wires with her and some of the work that she's doing. So she's working and writing. But she was just saying, you know, we talked about this earlier, that black people are never kind of the flavor of the month. So she's saying, why don't you add some diversity to your cast? But I guarantee you they add somebody, and it's not a black-on-black crime, somebody Hispanic or something first before they do that, like because
they won't be a janitor or a porter or a butler.
But I want to talk. You know, what do you think about her courage for doing that, Kai?
Oh, I think you know, she was always my favorite character on Living Single anyway. I think it's awesome. I love the way she did it. I mean, she, you know, like I said, she wasn't chastising. She wasn't being passive aggressive. Here's some suggestions. She's pretty much written a blueprint. All they got to do is take it into consideration.
Right. Or not, and someone see it and say, you know what, this is a good idea, Erica.
Exactly.
I'd love to go in with you on this.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we've been begging for that type of programming for us anyway.
Right. Right.
You know, you can get buffoonery on television all day long when it comes to us, but how often do you get a serious series about us?
Mm-hmm. And you know what I think, too? Because, of course, there's going to be some people who are going to say, why does it always, you have to put a black person in here? Why can't a Hispanic or, you know, an Asian or so forth? But, you know, again, she may have opened up the dialogue even on a broader scale. She's speaking as a black actress, like she said. But it opens up the dialogue, and I'm sure there's going to be that kind of feedback.
Yeah, and I just
and a person
and
that asked that
I...
question. Well, Kai, and a person that asked that question, the person that asked that question right then and there, you know they're out of touch.
Exactly.
When you say, "Why do you?" Okay, well, okay. So when you walk down the street, do you see only one race?
Mm-hmm.
You know, different people contribute to our society as a whole. So why wouldn't they be written into a script or a character or a something that's supposed to mirror real life?
Right.
Are they just non-existent on the screen?
Yeah. You're right.
I just wanted to also say that the one reason why I wanted to do make her comment kind of a topic on the show was because how she handled it. Now, I'm not going to go into the fact that she was stomping for Hillary back in the days, but I'm not going to bring this in the political world. I'm not holding that fish. I didn't hold that
Girl
against
power.
Her. No, I didn't hold that against her. But it was cool how she handled it. She just wrote the script and she put it out there. And she said, all I'm doing is put this out there. When people say things like, well, why don't you do something? She did it. So
she did it.
She put energy to it and let it go.
Exactly. She didn't just talk about it. She was about it.
Yep. So let's go to the phone lines. We have Patrick on. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, and what's your comment or question?
Well, I have and thank you very much for taking my call. Good afternoon mm-hmm. to the whole panel.
Hello.
I kind of joined in late, so I'm trying to get up to speed. I understand that we're talking about television shows and blacks getting more into producing and directing. And I'm about to show my age when I mention this. If you guys can go back, there were poignant times where black people were featured in sitcoms, everyday television shows. When I was a kid, I used to watch Julia with Diane Carroll.
Julia? No, I'm just joking.
Julia.
Oh, yeah, Julia. I remember that show, yeah.
Single mother, single black mom
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. had a show. And then there was Get Christy Love, the first
oh,
black
yeah.
female cop.
Right.
And then Norman Lear ushered in, you know, Norman Lear was responsible for All in the Family, Good Times, The Jeffersons, Maude, all of those things. The reason why I'm bringing that particular thing up is that when blacks have had the opportunity to get into production and direction, I don't know, and I'm not in the entertainment industry, so I don't know if they couldn't make a segue into it or not, but I do feel like they had that opportunity. Classic case, Tyler Perry. Now, the stuff that Tyler Perry does on a sitcom level, I'm really, the Browns, Meet the Browns, and what's the other one?
House of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see.
For better or worse, something like that.
He has the venue, but he doesn't really, other than the church message and the typical black message, he doesn't really institute any real content into what he's doing, and I feel that does a disservice to the lady that you guys were talking about who wants to get into producing and direction. And I feel that when you have somebody who is actually segued in and now they have a market, because he has
mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry has a huge market. I'm here in the ATL. I'm originally from Oakland, California. I've been in Georgia since 2002. Tyler Perry is huge.
Yes.
And I get tired of seeing this brother doing Madea over and over. Now, I'm a black man. I'm tired. Okay, you did it once. You did it twice. Cool. Why are you continuing? And here's the underpinning thing of this. Go ahead. You wanted to make a comment. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
Here's the underpinning thing of this. I feel that what he does when he does Madea, he does a great disservice to the black woman. Because in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, it's buffoonery. He's loud,
mm-hmm.
obnoxious, gun-toting, goes to jail. I mean, when I go back, see, I'm old school. When I go back and I look at Good Times, and I look at Get Christy Love, and I look at Julia, that was not, these were white producers. They were not portraying black women this way. Why
yeah,
is he Brown. Doing this?
Yeah, Foxy Brown was, first of all, Patrick, thanks for your comment. And here's the thing.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put y'all in a time machine.
No. Here's the thing with the show. is, you know, we've talked about Tyler Perry on the show, and black on black crime, you know, generally is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't do white folks or anybody else. But
right.
I agree with everything you said about Tyler Perry, and the panel normally disagrees with me. It's just because as a heterosexual black male, I still don't find the appeal of Tyler Perry. I just don't.
Thank you.
And so, but I'm not mad at anybody who does. I'm like, bless
right.
you.
Well,
but
see, I'm not mad at it either, bro. But it's like prostitution.
No,
well, and I'm sure, Rome, you know that I have an opinion.
I was gonna let you have at it because you're gonna probably jump on both of us. But I just wanted to say that just to let the guests know that this is friendly
yes.
fire because it's gonna sound.
I'm about to be collateral damage. Is that
you
what you're saying?
No. We all on the same team. But
right.
usually, like, Vanessa's not here today and Kathleen's not here today. Kai is on an island and I don't know where Daniel's gonna go, but. All I'm saying is I agree with that, and I kept saying no matter how successful Tyler Perry is, he's not a litmus test for black salvation at all.
At all.
We should never
at
put
all.
Him in that situation to say, how
right.
come Tyler Perry is not doing A, B, and C, and D? Because I wouldn't listen to Tyler Perry. If Tyler Perry told me something political, I would not listen to Tyler Perry. But for what he's doing, I never liked Mama Plays anyway. I never liked that. I kind of just thought they were condescending, right? It's like, find God as I cuss through the whole play. And then I just did not like them. And so I never really criticized them because I know how this goes with rabid Tyler Perry fans. And on that note, not the Kai. That's my girl. Not the Kai's a rabid Tyler Perry fan, but we're going to give it to Kai.
Well,
Kai, what do you think about his comments?
Here's what I think. And I'm sorry, was Patrick your name?
Yeah, that's Patrick.
Patrick. Hi, Patrick. I live in Atlanta also. And what I will say is actually this is the first time that I've heard someone who is not a fan of Tyler Perry, so to speak, put it so eloquently. So actually what you said it very respectfully, and you shared your opinion. I'm fine with that because you didn't use terms like he's the malt liquor of this and he's the this and that. You know, he's not God. He's just a man doing a creative art. I'm a writer too. So from a Tyler Perry perspective, the thing that I can say in his defense is he said that as long as people keep asking for Madea, he'll keep doing Madea. He wanted to retire her a while ago, but people keep asking for her. Me personally, I know some Madeas. So on one side, I can understand how some people might say it's buffoonery and this and that. But on the other side, it's the reality. I have some Madeas in my family. I mean, you know, they're not.
Here's the thing, though. We all do. And he
right.
knows that.
Exactly.
And he knows that.
Right. And
so,
if you're
so what he does
here,
is... He feeds off of it.
But if you're a Tyler Perry fan, it's like Rome said, you're not going to see a Tyler Perry play expecting that he's going to part the Red Sea or save the world. It's entertainment. Just like anything else, it's entertainment. You don't go seeking answers to all the problems that you have. But the one thing that you do find in the Tyler Perry, and most of them, what he attempts to do is create some kind of forgiveness, some kind of healing. And if you read, like, some of his blogs and some of the things, although it may not appeal to everybody, he changed the lives of a lot of people just from talking about being sexually abused, being beaten, being, you know. There's a lot of people who, even through his Madea character, he's touched some very sensitive areas and some sensitive topics that other people, because you know we as black people, we always trying to keep everything silent and nothing gets
right.
solved by it.
We treat everything like
don't talk about that outside this house. So he exposes
right.
some
right.
ugly truths. On the other side,
I'm like
that
on this show.
Right.
I'm like this on this
show.
I got time
and
I'm
going to tell you
about Tyler Perry.
I'm in total agreement with you.
Right.
I'm in total agreement.
And you know,
with you.
And it's not all Madeir characters, because on the other side of that, he's done A Family That Prays Together, one of my favorite movies. He's done Alex Cross. He's done for Color Girls. Did any of you see For Color Girls, the movie?
Nope.
That he? Okay.
There was a movie on last night. I don't remember. It was him. He was in a tuxedo. It was
okay,
him.
Okay, because it what I want to share brothers. With you is if you've
okay.
never seen any other of his movies, For Color
yes,
Girls.
I have.
Okay.
I have.
So if you haven't seen any other ones, make sure you watch this one. So For Color Girls, started off as a play a long, long time ago, and probably every young black girl or Latino girl as a young adult, and I don't want to age myself either. This is a story I've heard. But as a kid, every young girl has in some way or another been exposed to this play For Color Girls. It's by Ntozake Shange. So what he did, you know, growing up as a young woman of color, every young girl, this play was something that was phenomenal to them. So as an adult, what he did is took that play and made it into a movie. So if you didn't get the opportunity to see it as a kid, you got the opportunity as a young woman or an older woman to see it. And I think it's a very, very, very important play for both men and women to go see, because it's told from a woman's perspective, but a lot of it is about a woman and her relationship with men. So,
okay.
You know, for all of the Madeirs and the buffoonery and all of that, this movie gives him a pass on all of that. It was one of the most profound plays turned into a movie that he could have ever done. So, you know,
okay.
I strongly encourage every man, black, white, or otherwise, just to go see that movie, and you'll have a better understanding. But, you know, I really respect and appreciate the way you shared that information. You didn't dog him out. You didn't beat him down.
I would never do that because he's doing, regardless of whether you like what he's doing or not,
right.
It's having a positive effect on
right.
somebody.
And he's bringing jobs to an economy.
There you have it. So
yeah.
I can't, you know, I'm that old saying, keep it real, which I
mm-hmm.
really hate using because
mm-hmm.
I just think it's just an obnoxious, I think it's an obnoxious phrase. He's actually doing what it is that you want somebody black in the
right.
industry to do, which
right.
is create jobs, tell stories not only from your vantage point,
right.
but from a female vantage point, from a family vantage point, from a religious vantage point, from an
right.
economic vantage point. I appreciate all that.
Yeah.
Giving other people
the opportunity to do, what's the movie that just came out? I didn't get to see it yet, with Kerry Washington in it.
I don't know that.
He stood behind that, but that's written actually by someone else, and he gave them the opportunity to go and produce and direct and you know.
Okay, I just want to say
that's
this.
What it's all about.
Behind.
Wait,
hmm?
Okay. First, I want to say this, okay, because you guys have hit my Tyler Perry threshold, and I don't hate on nobody, but y'all went way over your time. I'm gonna bring Daniel in because I want him to comment.
Hi, Daniel.
Wait a minute, before I say that, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on SB Radio, and I want to say hey to Lavina in the chat room, who said she loves Tyler Perry's work, but it doesn't translate well to television. Don't all comedians base their works or routines on some of the craziness of our people? That's what comedy is, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Daniel,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you're up next before I
go ahead, Daniel.
He's not the Jesus Christ of black film, black acting, black sitcom. He's not going to save the world. So he's doing his part, number one, to employ African-American actors to bring some type of subject line of a sequence of our lives to television. No, it may not be as big as some of the things we've seen in the past. He's making his own. I mean, he pulled himself up from his bootstraps, doing his own thing.
to make some things happen. Now, I would like to see him do some more films along the line of Colored Girls. I didn't get to see it, but just the way Kai describes it, it's something I definitely want to see now.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen The Family Depraved. I like that particular movie, and there's some that I haven't had an opportunity to see. But considering what we've had in the last 20 years as far as a representative to, I guess, someone to represent African Americans on screen, I mean, the guy's done his thing. So I can't.
Now, Daniel, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When is he going to critically, and I'm saying through the art, when is he going to critically bring white folks up to the forefront and put them on the spot? In reference to what you're saying, the whole black issue, the whole black dichotomy, the history, all this stuff, because we get, just like Kai was saying.
Okay, and thank you for that question.
Okay, wait, Daniel, I just want you to be quick with the answer, because we're going to move on from that. But I want you to respond to that. Okay.
Okay. Well, quickly, you'd have to ask yourself: is that his job? If at some point you want everyone to be responsible and to address certain issues, but in the midst of your creativity, you know, Marvin Gaye's first album wasn't about inner city blues and this, that, and the other. It took him a while to get to that point. So you don't know when that watershed moment will be for Tyler Perry. And to ask him to do that in the midst of, I guess, what he's trying to establish is maybe broadening his perspective as far as African-American issues. So I just don't see him saying, okay, right now I'm going to throw down the gauntlet to challenge the rest of the world and make sure that they're doing what I'm trying to do.
Why not? He's getting broke off. He's been getting paid for 10 years. He has the resources.
If that's his goal in life, and I'll make this quick, maybe he's making sure he's planted all the weeds that he needs to plant in order to bring forth that fruit. That's the only thing I can
say.
All right. Well, I just wanted to create some stimulating dialogue. That's all I wanted to do.
Appreciate it, brother. Definitely appreciate it.
Well, okay.
That's all I wanted to do.
Well, I'm glad you decided to join us and come in, and you're welcome to come on the show anytime. Thanks, Patrick, for your comments, because I'm shutting
Tyler Perry
down as of this moment. All right. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you, Daniel, and thank you, host, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yep.
And you were
on with Kai as well. All right.
Yes.
Yes, Kai.
Bye, Patrick.
Okay.
That's my ex-girlfriend's name, by the way.
Oh,
wow.
She must be wonderful.
Don't hold that against me. He said X. All right, now.
Kai means lovable, so it had to be something Patrick did.
Kai. Be welcome.
Get out of that one.
She hit me on the way out. Man.
I'm in
the chat room, y'all. Y'all, I'm in the chat room.
Okay.
My handle is Into Knowledge.
Knowledge. And she was lovable when she did it, wasn't she? So I
was.
She was. It was like a beautiful woman feeding you poison. You didn't even taste it.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. We usually have a lot of love on the program, but today, see what Tyler Perry squirted out of all of us? The topic was Erica Alexander. We spun it someplace else that it shouldn't have been anyway. Great job from Erica Alexander. And thanks, Patrick. And
I'm gone.
For sure.
You guys have a good day.
You can stay on and hit one if you want to come back in, so that's cool. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm just going to be in the chat room. So I'm
okay,
good.
Cool. All right.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Okay.
You're welcome, right, man.
Now, here is a segment that I want to do. This is Daniel decided to give us a special commentary. See, I had to move quickly from that other stuff. Y'all are just – my pressure's up. I don't know where that came from.
Your pressure.
I don't know where that came from. My pressure. And I don't even have pressure. I just got it just a minute ago. See, that came from a Tyler Perry play. See how that affected me? Made me start yelling. See, Patrick was right all along. See how that whole loudness thing started getting? All right. So,
he's like, why not? Have you on my heels, like, oh.
Exactly. You're like, wait a minute. Where is that coming from? That's all from talking about Tyler Perry. And luckily, Vanessa and... See, if we were talking about Spike Lee, we'd have a whole different attitude. See,
well, then my pressure would be up. So.
Oh, yeah, we can't have that.
Spike, I like Spike.
I know you do. So I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on SB Radio. You can join us, 909-265-9189 in my calm voice. And before we move on, our topic was Erica Alexander. She penned a script for Mad Men. She took the initiative and said, hey, here's what I'm going to add to the conversation, opposed to saying that they don't have any black characters. She wrote some. So just wanted to give that up to Erica Alexander for putting in that kind of work. And we also talked about, and watch your pressure on this guy, we also talked about Dennis Rodman and versus LeBron James. So I think everybody was cool with that. Kai, you're okay still?
I'm good.
You good? All right. So all right, and Daniel, you're good.
Oh yeah, I'm always even keeled.
You said you're always what?
Even keeled.
Even keeled. Okay. Well, all right. So right now, here's what we're gonna do. We are going to go into a special commentary from Daniel. Now, as you know, we do that every now and then. Daniel's up with a special commentary, and after he's done, we're going to discuss. So, without further ado, this is Raw from the Jaw, Daniel Woodson. Hit it, Daniel.
My commentary today has to do with Jesse Jackson Jr. being imprisoned along with his wife, Sandy Jackson. Mr. Jackson, for misusing $750,000 of campaign finance contributions, and for Mrs. Jackson, $600,000 of unreported income. Here's my stance. All who seek public office should know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they, regardless of whether their name is Jackson, Fitzpatrick, Singh, Wynn, or Garcia, will pay the price for their crimes in total. The title and duties of public servant should never again be taken lightly, and those who seek additional wealth, perks, and prestige had best be aware of the consequences of their ways and the means by which they acquire said advantages. I'm tired of the greedy taking from the needy, then wanting to be contrite when caught and outed. Obviously, the penalties and precedents haven't been enough of a deterrent to stop this foolishness. So if the judicial system doesn't deal with them and his wife firmly, why should anyone else who seeks ill-gotten gains be inclined to exercise restraint? Now, the judge is considering a concession whereby Mrs. Jackson, since her sentence is the shorter of the two, a period of 18 months, will serve her time first, then her husband, whose sentence is 4 years, will serve his. This way, their children won't be without both of their parents for an extended period of time. How convenient. It sounds like someone is still expecting favor and privilege. Mr. Jackson's legal team goes on to cite his medical condition, severe depression and bipolar disorder, as a reason to lessen his sentence since he has been treated by his physicians with medication and he is undergoing intense treatment. They also claim that the Jackson's 9 and 13-year-old children would be devastated by a long prison term for their parents. Newsflash, all of that should have been considered when he chose greed and she chose not to report $600,000 of income, instead of them being concerned about their responsibility to their family and for doing the right thing. We're tired of people using excuses why they can't serve their time once sentenced. As a song from the television series Beretta used to say, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. So Sandy and Jesse Jackson, shackle up, pay up, and re-up. Your crimes are reprehensible, but it's far more reprehensible that you should expect special treatment when hundreds of thousands of citizens who violate our laws are incarcerated with no special provision, leniency, and sometimes exorbitant sentences that don't fit the crime. Go ahead and put some shackles on y'all's feet and stop trying to dance out of it. Face the music, Sandy and Jesse. I hope the furs, trips, memorabilia were worth it. Incidentally, severe depression and bipolar disorder doesn't make you spend nearly millions of dollars of campaign contributions, but greed and corruption do. This is Daniel Woodson, and this is Raw from the Jaw.
Pilots in front of mine, you can trust them.
You were never good at that.
What?
Judging character.
The Avalon's here.
It's never about me.
You set me up?
I had no choice.
The radically new 2013 Toyota Avalon. Experience the thrilling conclusion at onlythename.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
What's the biggest number you can think of?
A trillion, billion, zillion.
That's pretty big. How about you?
10.
Okay. How about you?
Infinity.
Can you top that?
Infinity and one.
Actually, we are looking for infinity plus infinity. Sorry.
What about infinity times infinity?
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Daniel, you know, I don't know where to begin with Daniel Woodson and Raw from the Job, but great job on commentary on the Jacksons, and this would be the other Jacksons, by the way.
Thank you, brother.
I know. I don't know where to go with that, because that was just one huge black-on-black cry, by the way, Jazz. Like, y'all just
Miami
get away with Jack.
Make you mad, Daniel.
As it don't start off with Kai.
Go ahead, Kai. I'm sorry. Well, that was very, very well spoken. Very well done. And I totally 100% agree. I have friends and family who suffer from bipolar disorder, and it's not fair to blame the illness on your actions. Are both of them having a medical bipolar situation? I understand he did. But is she suffering also? And you're right. I mean, I'm very disappointed. I met him before, and I thought he was such a stand-up guy. And to hear all this stuff and all this behavior, I'm very, very, very disappointed. But that was very, very well said, Daniel. You get two thumbs up from me.
I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Now, do I have to be the voice of reason in here? Because I just want to say
that. Go ahead, Jeff. I know you're going to
go
ahead.
No, I think you did a great job. But here's my focal point on black-on-black crime is to say, Kai, this guy in Kai's old hometown was a newscaster. And this happened last week, last Thursday. He was sentenced because he was working for a college. He set up a camera in the men's showers for 3 years. He got sentenced on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
The news says on all three network news, they're saying, oh, the sports information director, but they won't say he was a former newscaster for one of the local stations because they don't want to put inference on their own profession, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then as a white man, what happened was he was sentenced to probation and they did not make him register as a sex offender because they said he was not likely to do it again. Now, I say all that to say this. The justice system kind of picks and chooses winners or losers. We watch people embezzle money, get off. We watch that happen. Now, Jesse Jackson Jr. is not the white man. He'll never be the white man. So he should have known better.
Right.
But just like the guy in Detroit, I forget,
Kwame Kilpatrick.
They are old school politician families,
and they watched people skimming, and they tried to do it themselves, and his butt got caught.
Right.
But I'm not going to say how harsh his punishment should be, because none of these white folks actually get caught in it, and they don't go to jail for
right.
it.
But you know what, and I guess, you know, the punishment should fit the crime, you're right, and it shouldn't be race-based. But I guess because going into it, we already know, it's really, really difficult as a person of color to get in a position of power anyway. So you know that going into this, into politics, let's say, it's unfair, but we're held to a different standard. And until that changes, you have to be on your P's and Q's, not just with Jesse Jackson, but Kwame Kilpatrick and the gentleman from New York City. And, you know, it's unfortunate because it makes it really, really bad. And, you know, you and I, Rome, we have friends who are even now trying to get into politics, who we know and have grown up with, and we know that they're kind-hearted people. It makes it difficult for people like them to follow in the footsteps when you have people like this who are abusing the system. You know, and I understand it's all cutthroat, but, you know, steal a little
and,
bit.
And
don't steal everything.
And by the way, and Kai, we actually know successful people who are in this as
exactly.
well. We know a couple of
right.
judges and
right.
and some other politicians
right.
who are actually
who,
in
as
office.
Far as we know, did it the right way until they tell us otherwise, you know.
Well, as far as we know, but,
right.
I mean, I worked a lot of those campaigns, and I can tell you this, but it's not prettier on one
mm-hmm.
side. There's no prettier. It's not better on one side or the other. It's
right.
just that when you're black, again, I've been in a lot of rooms that I'm the only black person.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I can't act like they act. They're
exactly.
running my place like everybody else.
Exactly.
It's just that I don't have anything on me, so I don't really feel like,
right.
you know, I can – just verbalize and say, hey, you can do anything you want to me because I ain't doing
right.
anything. I know for a fact that I'll get shot like any other black person driving down a dark street one day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know
right.
that. So we do, you know, you're right. We are held to higher standards, and we need
we
to
are,
be conscious.
And it's
of
like
it.
Our parents say, you know better, so do better. They know, you know,
right.
they know that's wrong.
Right. So I want to go to Lavinia in the chat room. She said there are comments about Jesse Jackson. She said, damn, Chad Johnson got 30 days for slapping his lawyer's butt. see how stuff goes down. It's how it goes. Like, you don't just get privilege to do anything you want.
Yeah.
Daniel, you wanted to say? I know
well,
that your,
I mean, I understand
your bigger
where
thought.
You're going, yeah, well, I understand mm-hmm. where you're going with that maybe people in other groups don't get sentences heavily. But the point is, they all do. I'm not trying to give him a pass just because he's a brother and she's
no,
a sister.
I'm not.
I'm saying that
no.
all these folks should be by standard, and even the guy you mentioned, he should be a sex offender and should do some jail time.
Right.
And
right.
I'm just tired of it being one of those things that such and such was accused of doing such and such, but nobody ever paid price for it. So
right.
who's the next guy that comes through is not going to stop, because he knows, oh, I'm just going to get a slap.
Yeah. And
so why,
like
not?
For us,
why not?
We...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, for us, like we said, we held tight to a higher standard, but for every two steps we take forward, someone does something like this, it pushes us back 10 more steps, you know.
And then he had a legacy of his father, you know, sure, Jesse hadn't always been upstanding, but this guy was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he had the fast track using the name, and why would he do
yeah,
something
he
like that?
He definitely had the benefit of the doubt. Like
right.
he was wrong for pushing the limit on that. Now really quickly, so that I don't end the show on a down note, let me do a couple of quick news stories. We had four black Tony winners last night. Cicely Tyson, who returned to Broadway this season for the first time in 30 years, took home the Tony of Best Leading Actress in a Play last night at the 67th Annual Tony Awards. And she also, you know, if you don't know, was in Sounder in 72. And, of course,
oh, yeah.
she won an Emmy for Miss Jane Pittman.
Mm-hmm.
And the oldest, you know, we should bring Patrick back. We all know Miss Jane. We know who Miss Jane Pittman is.
That's right.
And she also was nominated for her role in the Ministries for Roots when they put on Roots. Now,
mm-hmm.
This is the second time in the 66-year history of the Tonys that four black actors have taken home the trophy in the same year. It was 2013 this year and 1982. Now, just in case you didn't know, Billy Porter won for Best Actor in a Leading Role in a Musical, Kicking Boots or something, and Patina Miller for the Best Performance in a Leading Role as in the musical Pippin, and Courtney B. Vance, you know, married to Angela Bassett, Best Performance in Acting Feature Role, and played in Lucky Guy. Now, the fifth winner was a producer. He was black, but just four actors. They never had five actors in a row, so I wanted to say that. And also, I wanted to say, since we were talking about the justice system, a New Orleans judge who sits on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is being accused of violating her code of conduct with some harsh comments that she made against blacks and Hispanics. Now, this past February, Judge Edith Jones gave a lecture at the University of Pennsylvania Law School where she made quite a few offensive and biased remarks, saying that minorities are responsible for more violent crimes than whites. And then she allegedly said that any death row inmate that claims that racism or mental retardation, I was trying to rush the story, that mental retardation affects their prosecution is merely red herrings. And she also allegedly stated that a death sentence provides a public service by allowing an inmate to make peace with God. She's going to be off of the Fifth Circuit Court. She's being brought up on charges. They need to
I would hope so.
Okay, and in another news story, a report from the United Negro College Fund finds this week that black women are enrolled in college in record numbers for the first time since the U.S. Census Bureau has been gathering college enrollment data. The number of African-American women in college surpassed all other races and genders, including black men. Now, in 2011, the census report, 1 in 10 black American women are enrolled in college and universities. Now, here's another startling discovery, just in case you didn't know. 30% of all African-American college freshmen receive remedial training compared to 14% of white, which means they're not really equipped to go to college because they're not equipped in high school. Blacks are less represented than whites in all degree levels in technical disciplines like engineering, and blacks are twice as likely as whites to be unemployed after 1 year of graduation in college, and only 5% of all college faculty are African American. But I just wanted to really share that to let everybody know, stop saying that black folks aren't achieving stuff when we have more than any other group. The number of black females are 1 in 10, and it's not that high for white females. Black people are achieving some things. So although Jesse Jackson just made a fool of himself, don't think that that is black people. All right, so I'll let you guys comment on that. You can go if you guys want to comment on any of the stories.
I think that's great, but I would love to hear that black men are achieving at the same level.
Okay, now, see, you know, give you a mile.
I mean that in a good way, because I want them to have the same opportunities. You know, we need
right.
our black men to be educated and in college, and I want them to be provided the same opportunity.
Well, think about the whole thing that we just said about the judge. We're getting ran through the justice system at unheard of numbers.
There you go.
And I didn't
She's
do the
gotta go.
Yeah, I didn't do the news story about the rate of arrest that they're finding for the stop and frisk and marijuana arrest. Black people have, black males in particular, whole different story.
There you go. Right. But we got to get them out of jail or because of people like her and get them in the school.
Right. You know, I just wanted to share those stories. And I want to thank everyone for joining in today. You know, Commissioner and Finesse didn't make it, but, hey, we had a good time. Thanks for calling in, Patrick, Lavina, of course, always, who's holding down in chat. We need to bring her on the program. Ty, she said she's shy. She ain't ready to come on the program yet.
Tell her I used to be until I did the program.
Well, she was just on the news show with us.
Oh, yes, that's right.
See, you forgot about that. All right, so, and Daniel, great commentary. I just wanted to make sure I said that to you again, brother. Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. And so you can check us out here every Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. This is Black on Black Crime. I'm Jerome, Daniel, and Kai. Say later, people.
Bye.
See y'all.
All right. See you next
week. All right, Patrick.